We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, Pete. And speaking of Pete, you'll want to listen Thursday night, our NFL draft special. We're going to have the entire draft covered. We'll have a crew here in studio, including Chris Russell. We'll have Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, in Ashburn at Redskins Park. And Pete and myself will be at the Anthem anchoring our draft coverage that night. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll get to the draft in a few minutes on the Beltway Blitz. But first, the aforementioned Chris Russell.
Capitals.
He's our Caps insider throughout these playoffs. And Russell, the Caps are going the distance again. Game 7. They are 3-0 at home, 0-3 on the road. Why couldn't they close out Carolina?
A bad second period and parts of the third as well. Too many turnovers, too much skating on a pond type free hockey, no commitment to the forecheck at times, bad passing. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I think caught up to them in the first four games of the series. Clearly, they eliminated it for Game 5 on Saturday night. It's the kind of thing that, quite honestly, I've seen a lot of through the regular season, too, when nobody was really paying attention. They have taken periods off, and they are not going to be able to afford to take any periods, any stretches off on Wednesday night against the Carolina Hurricanes, if they're even lucky to advance to the second round.
Why the massive difference between how they've played at home and on the road in the series?
Well, I would say there was a massive difference between Game 5 and how they played on the road. I don't know, Danny. I mean, even though they won Games 1 and 2, and clearly on the scoreboard they were the better team, if they were so great in Games 1 and 2. Clearly they got off to really good starts, so that's a thing. They have to get off to a really good start, but they did last night. They had a good first period, and then it all fell apart with some bad luck and, again, some of the issues that we've talked about. Here's what I would say. There's no way they're going to be able to replicate what they did on Saturday night in terms of the energy, the forecheck, the physicality, the total four-line commitment. Everything clicked, power play, penalty kill. But if you can get me 80-85% of that, if you can get up 2-0 in Game 7 tomorrow night, and please don't get down to nothing. If you can do that, then you're probably going to advance.
I would guess at this point, just based on how he's playing, that you're going to find out after the end of the season that something's not quite right with Jacob Verana. He just doesn't look like himself. But what about Evgeny Kuznetsov? By all accounts, he's healthy, and he was making weird decisions on the power play and really hurt them last night.
Yeah, as far as Verana, I mean, nobody said anything, of course, but these guys are all clearly less than 100%. But you might be right on that, Grant. He's a pretty quiet, soft-spoken kid. I mean, I talked to him plenty in this series. I just saw him the other day, and he appears fine. He appears fine, just, you know, again, casually walking around. But clearly, he's not the same impact. As far as Kuznetsov, you know, I kind of compared it this morning on the Junkies to a guy who's, like, skating around on some pond in Manitoba or something. You know, I mean, he's just, like, floating around for much of the game last night. And for a lot of this series, now, he was much better in the third period, much more engaged, in addition to that disputed goal by Ovechkin that he created. But he's got to be playoff Kuznetsov. He's got to be much more engaged. He's got to be much more challenged. He's got to be better with the puck. He's got to be better passing, which he's had a couple of assists in this series. But they need the Game 7 sniper against the Islanders a couple of years ago, game-winning goal. They need Kuznetsov when he came back from the injury in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final and scored a goal in Game 3. They need that kind of assassin. I don't know, Todd Reardon kind of mentioned the other day after Game 4 that maybe he was dealing with something. But again, he appears fine.
Do they win tomorrow night, yeah or nay?
Yes, I think they do. I don't think it's easy in any way, shape, or form. I'll say 3-2.
Wow, I'll take it. Hey, Christopher, thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy.
Let's talk a little football.
Redskins.
Ben Standing, NBC Sports, Washington.com. Of course, the My Teams app. Ben, I saw that you've done 21 mock drafts. Is that right?
Yes. My mock draft can vote or drink or something. Yeah.
21 mock drafts. That's something. When you do most of those, who do you have the Redskins taking?
I'll say that throughout the process, I pretty much steered away from the quarterback. I had the Kyler Murray infatuation at 15 when he first revealed he was going to go pro. But for the most part, I've just been going with edge rushers, defense. I had a TJ Hawkinson infatuation at one point, but I think he's going to go ahead of them. So right now I've got them going with Brian Burns from Florida State. He's kind of the, at least in the way I have it, the last, you know, sort of edge rusher there. And to me, like, I just don't get the, I mean, I get the quarterback, but I just don't get it for the Redskins at this point. Gruden has come out and said they need somebody to come in and play right away. They have Case Keenum. I don't get the sense in general people are in love with these passers. And, you know, they have just so many holes. On the assumption that they are trying to make the playoffs, I just keep thinking they got to go fill these holes. So Brian Burns is kind of where I'm going for right now.
If Sweat and Burns are both there, which one do you think they take?
I think that point it just comes down to what do their doctors say. I mean, Sweat was, I think, is considered the better prospect, but he's got an enlarged heart situation. From what I've gathered, some teams are, you know, just flat out taking him off the board just because that's what they do, but others are cool with it. He just dominated the combine, freak athlete, all the measurables, all the great times that you would like, but this is this one thing. So, like, I think without this heart condition situation, like, I would have had him probably going, like, 6 to the Giants, but if he slips, then, like I said, I think it's just a matter of what do the Redskins medical staff think about him.
Benjamin, what chance do you give them of trading down? Let's say that there's a rush on these impact defensive players, which it sounds like there might be, honestly, in that top 15. What chance do you give them to maybe trade down, get a receiver that's a better value at, like, in the 20s, or add multiple picks? I feel like it's a coin toss at this point that they move down. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I always think, you know, listening to Doug Williams is an interesting, it's a good barometer for sort of gauging things. And he yesterday, when asked about trading up, was very strong about saying, you know, it's much more likely we would trade down. And he kind of even went out of his way to sort of mention the idea of trading down a few times. And it does, I think, make sense for the Redskins on a lot of levels. I mean, if they're looking to get offensive line, receiver, it's possible, like I said, Burns is the last pass rusher, but a guy like Cleveland Farrell could be there in the around 2021. You know, I think it does make some sense. And here's my fun theory. Trade down into the, you know, late teens, early 20s, and then use that first-round pick to go to the Cardinals to trade for Josh Rosen. You've then got, at that point, added some extra stuff. If they do like Rosen better than these other quarterbacks, that would be a way to get some things and still get the quarterback they like. But, yeah, I do think trade down is possible, but obviously, as we all know, you got to have the other side that wants to make the deal.
Yeah, it does take two to dance. Otherwise, you're just awkward over there in the corner. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
Ben Standig of NBCSportsWashington.com. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Last night, the Caps dropped Game 6. A Game 7 has been forced. What's going to happen tomorrow night? We'll take your temperature.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
12:45, former Redskins quarterback Jordan Palmer, who's been coaching Drew Lock, among other prospects during this pre-draft process, will join us to discuss that. 1 o'clock hour, Rob Carlin on the Capitals at the top of the hour, and John Allen, Redskins defensive lineman at 1:15. Want to ask him about the draft party he'll be attending, what he remembers about the final few days before being taken by the Redskins out of the University of Alabama. And at 1:30 today, we do have Nats tickets that could be yours. You got to be listening if you want to see them take on the San Diego Padres on April 27th. At Nationals Park, 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ball game all season long. So the Caps lost Game 6 to Carolina. On the road, they're now 0-3 in these playoffs. They were 10-3 on the road in the postseason en route to the Cup last year. Another troubling stat early on in these playoffs. With a chance to close out a series en route to the Cup last year, the Caps went 4-0.
They did it four times.
4-4. They are 0-1 after last night. Connolly gives them the 1-0 lead. Fogle comes back and ties it. Ovechkin gives them a 2-1 lead. Teravainen comes back and ties it. And then Staal, Williams, and Hamilton in the third period unanswered as an Alex Ovechkin near goal was taken off the board. Controversial call, but I think the right call was made. But that brings us to Game 7 tomorrow. And an opportunity for you guys on the phones right now at 800-636-1067 to tell us how you're feeling. 800-636-1067. I don't want to complicate this, Danny. I don't think we need to do a lot of setting this up. I just want to know, are you confident that the Caps get to the second round? Do you expect them to beat the Hurricanes? Are you worried and nervous? I think that's normal with
Should
a game
be, right?
seven. Those are two fear-inducing words. But are you scared of the outcome? Are you fearful of a loss? Or do you feel pretty good about the game? That's the question at 800-636-1067.
Of course you should be fearful and nervous. If you're not, it's you're still rolling on last year's Stanley Cup championship. It means you don't care. Because game sevens are terrifying. Anything can happen. You could play better and lose. We've seen that a million times. You could get the doors blown off. A lot of things could go wrong. It's a game seven. You don't like to have to come down to that. You like to be the better team and take advantage. You're not here. Before the series started, I picked the Caps in seven. I think the Caps will win in seven. Like, if I had to bet on it, that's what I would bet, that the Caps win in seven. But, of course, you should be nervous. Any confidence here is feigned, I think, at this point, or it's fake. You should absolutely be...
I think you could be confident and nervous at the same time. Nervous because, as you said, it's a game seven and anything can happen. I'm confident that the Capitals will win because they're the better team. I'm confident that they will win because they're at home and they've looked really good at home.
They've been better at home.
I'm still nervous about the game because it's hockey and who knows who gets what bounce. Who knows what puck ricochets off a defenseman's skate and into the back of the net. Who knows when Warren Fogle's just going to kind of turn and sling a puck toward the net with no real plan of it actually going in, and then it does because it caroms a couple times on the way to Braden Holtby. So, yeah, nervous. I think everybody's nervous. What I'm saying is, do you expect them to win or not? Yes or no? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Do you think they'll win? And I do. I said this off the top today, Danny. I'm going to reiterate this. You have the best player in this series in Alex Ovechkin. You have the second best player on the ice in this series in Nicholas Backstrom. You have the third best player in this series and probably the overall most skilled player in the series in Yevgeny Kuznetsov. The goaltending matchup is in your favor. Holtby's better than Mrazek. You want to talk best defenseman on either team? It's John Carlson and it's not close. You've got the talent. You have home ice advantage. You have 18,000 rabid fans behind you. You have the experience of having won a Game 7 in the conference final last year and having been in countless Game 7s over the last several years while Carolina wasn't even in the playoffs, longer drought than any other team in the conference. Everything's in your favor. You got Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, and Holtby better than any player on Carolina. Get it done. No excuses. I know you don't have TJ Oshie, and that stinks. And I get that you don't have Michael Kempney, and that too is a problem. But you are talented enough, you are good enough to beat the Hurricanes. We can reassess if and when you dispatch of them ahead of the Isles. And it's irresponsible to start looking ahead because you haven't gotten there yet. You may not have to look ahead because you may not get there. But that's going to be a series that I probably wouldn't pick the Caps to win without TJ Oshie. The way they're playing right now, as rested as they're going to be, as healthy as they'll probably be. But you got to figure this out. You're the defending champs. Show me that backbone and show me that leadership that you had in Game 5.
I think what we learned, and we should have had this lesson beaten into us early on this season, is, and this is not a negative, it's just a reality. This is not last year. In a million different ways, right? Whether it's the coach is different, whether it's a couple of key members of personnel are different, whether it's the assignments are different. Yeah, a lot of the people are the same, right? The core is the core. It's still Holtby. It's still Ovechkin. It's still Backstrom. It's still Kuznetsov. We know the players. We know Tom Wilson. We know the defensemen. It's not last year, though. Last year, the things that broke right, broke right. I mean, there are guys that may never play another game for the Capitals ever again that scored that were responsible for a massive goal against Pittsburgh when they were without Nicklas Backstrom. The Nathan Walker and the other guys in that line who I can't even remember.
Alex Chiasson,
you know? That's one in a million. That's one in a billion. That's the, you hold your finger up and hope lightning strikes it and then it does. Counting on those things to happen in the same way, I think are naive. And there's still work to be done. And that's how I kind of felt going into this series, is that everybody was already looking past to either the Islanders or the Penguins. I don't know if the players were. I don't know their minds. I do have the sense, though, that there was some complacency at certain points where, okay, we got it. It's over now. We've stepped on their throats, and you let Carolina back up off the mat a couple times, maybe, you know, taken for granted that you were going to cruise to a win. And I think that was the case maybe the other night a little bit when they got up 2-1. So, to me, you should be nervous because it's terrifying. Game 7s are terrifying. I know the Caps history. None of these guys have anything to do with the 5-11 record. Maybe one of those wins last year was a Game 7, and maybe one of those losses a couple of those guys participated in. This, to me, is about a team that's good, that when they play well, can really bother you and upset how you do things, talking about Carolina. This, to me, is anybody's ballgame. The Caps will win, but I could absolutely see them not.
So you're picking them to win?
I am.
I am as well. And, of course, to me, the Hurricanes, who were underrated coming into this series, could come to Washington and get a victory. My confidence level, let's play it this way, percentage chance that you'd give them to win. I think it's a 65-35 thing for me, something like that. I feel that good, 65-35. And of the 35, I'm going to say 25 of it is hockey could happen.
Mm.
10 of it is the Hurricanes could be better than you on that given night. That's not to say that I disrespect Carolina. I just think that the Caps, with their backs against the wall, playing an elimination game for the first time, give you their best like they did in Game 5, making amends for Oshie with the elevated energy in the building from DSP. That was the closest thing you saw to the Caps clicking on all cylinders. And I think that was about compete and energy and effort and just outworking Carolina on every shift. And I expect with their season on the line that this game will look a little bit like that, at least in the first period. Now, that doesn't mean you don't fall behind 1-0.
Right. I wonder what happens if that's the case, a fluky goal earlier or something.
Something working against you. That's where it comes in that they could lose. But I'm going 65-35 Caps.
Much closer for me, 53-47.
Wow.
Just because it's, again, it's one of those. They're playing with their backs against the wall, too. And every time we think of this from a Washington Capitals angle, Carolina radio is doing the same thing. I mean, in between talking about Duke and
what they're not the defending champions. They didn't win the division that they play in. The Capitals did.
Sure.
They're not as good as Washington.
Sure.
They don't have Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov. They don't have a goaltender who's won a Vezina.
3-3, and you've looked just as good, if not better, for the majority of time. I mean, last year, the Capitals, the defending champs from last year. That hasn't impacted any of these games, I would say.
I agree, but I'm just saying the idea that, well, they're having that conversation too. Yeah, and it's cute that they are. I mean, they may win the series, mm-hmm. but they're having the conversation. They're happy to be here. They're not as good as Washington. I think they would admit to that. It hadn't mattered because the Caps haven't dispatched them yet. But you got to win 4. Caps have a chance to do that, and they're on home ice. Another reason why you would think Washington will be favored in Game 7.
Because everyone's one at home.
Phones coming in at 800-636-1067. Lines are filling up. There's a couple open if you want to chime in and tell us. Will the Capitals win Game 7? Give us your level of confidence that they do.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the calm after a storm and before another, hopefully one that brings some flowers for the Capitals. Game 7 tomorrow night, Capital One Arena. They'll drop the puck at 7:30. You can hear the game right here on The Fan. Let's get to the phones, 800-636-1067. I'm 65-35 in favor of the Capitals. I'm feeling good. They're the better team. They should win the series. Danny?
53-47. Pick the Caps in 7 before the series. Picking the Caps in 7 now. But you got to feel uneasy. It's a game 7.
Let's go to Brian in Rockville. What's up, dude?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm looking at tomorrow being a 99.5 to 0.5 Caps win.
Wow.
There's no question. I mean, if you think that Ovi's coming back after the way he's played and letting his team lay an egg in front of our home fans, who didn't get a closeout game last year, if you recall, I think they're just bummed out for not giving us a little home walk-away handshake. So it's a tough team, but we've taken a lot of shots to some really key guys. Verana hasn't been there. Kuzi's been less than there, and Berkey's just—I don't know where he even is. So
he's burking.
But here's what I would ask you, Brian: is I have the same confidence in the Caps that you do. The difference for me is I've just seen too many of the things over the years that are fluky that can work against you. You don't worry at all in a game 7 where anything can happen about that tip goal that happens 2% of the time or some kind of puck off a skate ruining your night. That's not in your mind?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, Grant, and I've been hearing that quite a bit for the last couple days, especially this morning with the junks. And it just seems as though a lot of guys are putting a lot of credibility behind previous seasons, which would have been fine if we didn't win the Stanley Cup last year.
I think that's a good point. I mean, the Cup did happen, obviously.
No, it occurred.
Here's the difference. The reason they won the Cup is because those bounces went their way. When Tuck tries to shoot the puck into a wide-open net and Holtby has his stick out and makes the save heard around the world, there was basically like 2 inches where he could have made that save, and every other inch in the entire net, it's a goal. There was a post hit right before the Caps won in the Penguins game 6 that so often maybe they lose right then and there in overtime before Kuznetsov scores the game winner. Everything kind of went their way and they won the Cup. And my point is, last night the opposite happened. The trend didn't feel like the Cup run where, oh, everything's coming up Capitals. Let's go to Jeff in Columbia. Hey, dude.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. All right. You have to be totally positive about what's going to happen at the arena tomorrow night. These guys are totally professionals. They're going up guys against guys that are total professionals. They just have to overcome a hot team that went in towards the end of the season, and they're going to do it. I love this drama. This is what hockey is all about to me. I've been a Capitals fan as far as I can remember. But they will take care of business. We just have to watch and cheer and make it happen.
Oh, the drama's great. I mean, Danny, how unbelievable. The NHL playoffs. The sweeps that you had were the wrong teams sweeping, according to the experts.
I know, right?
And most of these series now are going 7. You compare it to, like, last night, the Pistons and the Bucks, or some of these games with 3-0 watching last night in the NBA, there's just no comp. You literally have no idea tonight. Turn on the TV, flip a coin, Boston or Toronto. Flip a coin, San Jose, Las Vegas. Flip a coin, Washington, Carolina.
No, it's totally true. I mean, the early rounds of the NBA playoffs, the occasional, oh my God, the Clippers won a game, or oh my God, you know, you can pick the Brooklyn Nets beat Philadelphia. But we know. We know where the big boys are going to play.
The early rounds of the NBA playoffs are tough. They're not that good. Kevin Arlington, how are you?
Kevin.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, I would say I'm more hopeful than confident. I'm more like 60-40. But here's the thing, and you pointed it out, Grant, earlier. Puck luck in hockey, it's a real thing. Okay, we had the breaks a year ago. We haven't been getting them like we did a year ago. But I will also say, unlike a year ago, we aren't flying under the radar. We've had a bullseye on our back since day one. And Lombardi once said, winning it all isn't the difficult thing, repeating is. And, you know, I think Rod Brind'Amour and the Canes have done us a favor if we prevail because they've gotten our attention. I mean, it's, to me, it'll come down to Tuesday. being the player he's been mostly at home this year. He's been a Jekyll and Hyde, one player at home when he's played well, and another player on the road. He hasn't played well on the road almost all year. So I don't know why that is.
It's weird.
I don't know why it is.
He better have a big Game 7 or they're in trouble. Now, I will say in Game 5, he was very good. They won 6-0. There might not be a direct correlation, but it certainly didn't hurt. The Islanders, by the way, won their series a week ago tonight. They will have probably 9 days off. No, you know what? It's going to be at least 10. It'll be 10 or 11 days off before they start
That's
their
amazing.
Series. That's probably too much time off. And people say, oh, they're going to be so rested. Yeah, rested and maybe rusty as well. That's a long time
They'll
to sit around.
They'll be plenty rested, but...
Eric Alexandria.
Hey, guys. What's happening? I think I'm going to go with the Caps at 55% to 45%. And the reason why I say that is because, like, it's always like this time of the year when the playoffs hit that the Caps keeps us on our toes and biting our nails and hoping that it comes through and everything. And we've been disappointed so many times. I think they got the recipe for winning this thing. And it just, you know, but they still have to go through the same motions as always. But I think they can do it.
Thanks, Eric. And make no mistake about it. I don't want people to think I'm saying, oh, this is what happens. The Caps lose games like this. Last year undid all that. Anybody who's playing the poor, pitiful us, we're Game 7 chokers, all this nonsense, get them out of your life. Get them out of your text message inbox. Tell them to leave you be. I'm just saying, Caps aside, it's hockey. Seventh game, literally anything's on the table now.
Yeah, stuff happens.
It's got nothing to do with their history. It's just the puck's going to bounce. It's a frozen piece of rubber, and it's going to go all over the place, and hopefully it doesn't end up in the back of the Caps.
They were better than Pittsburgh when they lost that Game 7 a couple years ago, better than the Rangers when they lost at home in a Game 7, better than the Canadians when they lost at home in a Game 7. That doesn't always matter. These are Game 7s, and they're terrifying. You should be appropriately terrified.
You can do everything right and lose in hockey more than I think you can in other sports. I think that they will win, and they have in the 3 previous home games in this series. Sydney and Haymarket, you're on G&D.
Hey, guys, I'm 80-20 Caps. I just believe they have the championship.
Today.
Yeah, I had the championship medal, and, you know, I'm sick of the loser mentality. I don't think people should have that anymore. But I am worried about the fact that we haven't really had one solid D pairing this series, and last year we had 2.
Big picture, Sydney. You're
Thank
on
you,
point,
Sydney.
Bro. That's a problem. You know, Siegenthaler, very good his first 2 games. I actually thought was really good last night, -1. Miscue, so to speak, that led to a goal.
Giveaway
got slashed
bad.
on behind the net on a giveaway that led to a goal. But you could say that because of that, him and Carlson haven't been perfect. Niskanen and Orlov have had major problems. Orpik and Jensen have had their issues, specifically Jensen, believe it or not, more so than even Orpik. But yeah, to this point, overall, you don't have a pairing that you feel really good about. And if you're trying to make a cup run, that's an issue. Now, let's get out of the first round before we start talking about a cup run. Kevin in Laytonsville, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, bud?
Grant, I can't disagree with you more. Hockey is a game of skill, not luck. There are no bad beats. You know, if you do everything right, you don't get beat on the river with a 2. The guys are playing in front of the home crowd, like the earlier caller said. They get that walk-off Game 7 win. I'm 90-10 for the Caps.
I'm glad that you're confident, and I'm glad that people are confident. They should be. This is the defending Stanley Cup champion group, minus TJ Oshie. Obviously, not having Michael Kempney is going to hurt, but there's a reserve here that they've been tested. You should be confident. They've given you no reason not to be. They've responded in this series and over the last couple of years every time they've been challenged.
But I just don't know how you can watch hockey and think, yeah, there's nothing involved.
I'm not even responding to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I basically think he said, Grant, I disagree with you. 2 + 2 = 5. Okay. You think 2 + 2 = 5, and I don't.
You come to the same conclusion that you're confident in the team tomorrow, and that's all well and good, and that's a reasonable position.
Hockey does not have bad beats.
But
have you turned on the TV during a game at any point?
I mean, listen, you give Carolina credit for creating those situations. And, you know, if you do it 20 times over the course of a game, right, where you flick the puck towards the net, nothing's going to come of it. It'll go out of play. It'll get washed to the sideboard. The goalie will see it just fine. But 1, 2, 3 of those end up in the back of the net somehow? They deserve credit for that process, and that is their process. So if those break the right way, we never think about them. But when they don't, when Justin Williams just sticks his stick in the air and it redirects at the exact right angle to go between the pipes, you just go, How are you supposed to defend that?
Last night, when John Carlson hustled his ass off, won a puck, threw it to the front of the net, and Tom Wilson, in the waning seconds of the second period in a tied 2-2 game, got a deflection that beat Mrazek, and it hit the crossbar.
Hit the crossbar, right.
I'm sure that wasn't a bad beat. I'm sure that had nothing to do with luck for Carolina. Wilson did everything right. Matter of fact, more than that. Him and Carlson both gave you more than the average player is going to give you in that moment where they're just winding the clock down. Everything correct. Shot on net. If it's a quarter inch lower, the Caps are up 3-2 going to the third period. And you just broke the Carolina Hurricanes back at home. Instead, it's 2-2. Starting the third, they got energy, and the next goal wins. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Jordan Palmer. Let's ask him about Drew Locke, who he's getting ready for the NFL draft. The former NFL quarterback talks about this year's class with us next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. As always, the NFL draft is Thursday night. We've got a draft party coming up at the Anthem. Myself and Pete Medhurst will be anchoring our coverage. We'll have a crew on site at Redskins Park, led by our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. We're also going to have folks back here in our Half Street studios, led by Chris Russell. So we're going to have the draft exceptionally well covered for you. Right now on the Mattress Warehouse hotline, Jordan Palmer, who was once drafted by the Redskins, played in the NFL, was a sixth-round pick back in 2007, and now one of the quarterback coaching gurus who gets prospects ready for the draft each and every year. Jordan, thanks so much for a few minutes. I guess let's start with you letting us know. I've seen Drew Locke, Jared Stidham. You've had a lot of success over the last couple of years. How do you go about picking which guys you're going to work with each year? And are those the two this year you're grooming, or is there more in this class that you're working with?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, guys. And, yeah, I got a chance to work with Drew Locke this year, Jared Stidham this year, and then Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo this year as well. And I've spent a lot of time with a lot of the prospects in this class, but in terms of being really with them the last 3 months in a really intense training session, those are the three guys I've been working with. And, you know, I look, I'm trying to be right as well in terms of the guys that I'm working with. I have a set fee. I have three spots. So I'm not in a situation where I'm going to the highest bidder, the biggest name or anything like that. I'm really looking for guys that are going to be guys in this league. And so how I go about finding those is there's a couple of things I look for early on, and sure, height is important, can be important, and arm strength and, you know, the level that they played at, those things can be important, but there's too many variables. The first thing I look for is somebody who has a pattern of dealing with adversity well. Sounds a little deep, but when I look at Jarrett Stidham, who grew up in a broken home and was the man of the house at 16, as was Tyree Jackson, as was Deshaun Watson. When I see that and I see guys develop a pattern of dealing with adversity really, really well, that signals to me that there's a foundation in place. Now, it doesn't mean that they throw the ball well either, as well, but I look for that as kind of that first piece. And then the second thing is confidence. I look for guys who can self-generate confidence. A lot of the other physical stuff, you know, really just kind of adding and making guys more efficient. But those are the first two things I look for when I'm evaluating.
Jordan, help me with this. Listen, I'm just a rube. I'm not a professional evaluator. I'm just a fat guy who talks about sports on the radio. But when I'm looking at quarterbacks, my kind of prerequisites are I want to make sure the guy that I'm taking, if it's a first-round pick, hyper-productive in college, and then kind of we'll figure the rest of it out, right? We start to look at attributes. Drew Locke checks a lot of boxes. Why the change in some of his numbers, which were video game style his junior year to this past year? Nothing bad about 28-8, right? But it wasn't 44-13. What's the difference in some of those numbers for you? How do you account for him?
Well, with Drew, it's really specific to the system. You know, he ran in Josh Heupel's system where they threw it every single snap, and but wasn't asking the quarterback to do much. Wasn't asking the quarterback to read much. Wasn't asking the quarterback to do anything pre-snap from a protection standpoint. And so when Derek Dooley came in, offensive coordinator, who just came from the Cowboys, it was a pro-style system, more of a pro-style concept, put a lot more on the quarterback's plate. But in terms of the lack of productivity or the drop in productivity, I mean, look at the stats in terms of attempts. That went down big time too. And then also, you know, he had a lot of injuries. You know, Emmanuel Hall was basically healthy for two games, and that was the cornerstone of their offense was singling him up. You know, his tight end, Albert and Ogunaku, I can't pronounce the last name, but, you know, another guy battled injuries all year. The thing that I take away from Drew Locke's career is he has more starts than any quarterback in SEC history. That is a very relevant stat, particularly when you look at the majority of those games, they were underdogs. If you lead all the SEC quarterbacks in starts at Alabama, that doesn't mean the same thing. You are favored in most of those games, or every single one of those games. So for Drew to have more experience playing quarterback in the biggest conference than anyone ever before, and was on a team that was built, you know, was for the most part was not favored, that is really valuable experience. And so for me, I'm far less concerned about the drop in numbers last year, because there's just so many factors that went into it, and very few of them are him dropping his level of play.
Jordan Palmer's coaching up Drew Locke, who has been one of the Redskins' interests this offseason. They were at his pro day. He has visited with them on different occasions. They're on the clock at number 15. If he's there, he could very well end up here in Washington. But what would an NFL team be getting in Locke? Give us kind of the elevator pitch on him as a prospect, and then also give me something that he has to work on that right now isn't a strength that he's not very good at.
Yeah, I think the first thing that I think of with Drew, and it just pertains to any team that's looking to take him, is he's no pun intended, he's a lock in terms of just being a dude, in terms of being a franchise guy. Confidence-wise, he's there. He's been through a lot of adversity. He's handled himself well. He's very sure of himself. Physically, he's as talented as you need to be, or more so in a lot of categories. Very, very athletic, very fluid, and a very, very strong arm. So I've said this, and I've said this in front of Josh. I'm more sure about Drew Locke right now than I was about Josh Allen this time last year. And I think Josh Allen is going to have a statue of him in Buffalo. And I have more data on Drew. He's had more games. He's played at high levels. He's played against great competition. I've spent a lot of time with him. I'm just 100% sure of Drew Locke.
Wow.
In terms of the things that he needs to work on, I think it's the thing that all these rookies need to work on. They need to get experience. They need to be able to, you know, process a lot of information and then disseminate information and make really quick decisions. They have a lot on their plate early on. I just don't really have any concerns with Drew Locke at this point, being completely honest.
Jordan Palmer with us. Last one for you real quick. Jared Stidham, why hasn't he gotten kind of more attention, more love throughout this process? Kind of give me the same feel that you have for Drew Locke, or for Jared. What does he need to work on, or what are his attributes?
Well, first off, Jared Stidham is going to go a lot higher than everybody thinks. He has way more interest going on than the media is not picking up on, because teams aren't sitting there raising flags saying, here's who we love and we don't want anybody to know. He's had probably as much or more interest in private meetings and workout as any quarterback in this draft. And I think the reason for the miss on the media is the flip of his last 2 years. So last year's productivity went down. Auburn struggled a little bit. But there's a lot going on there that is just really difficult for him to talk about or for other people to talk about. But if you flip his 2 years at Auburn and you reverse them, well, 2 years ago, he beat number one ranked Georgia, number one ranked Alabama, had a great bowl game, like had a phenomenal year statistically, and they dominated. If you flip those 2 years, I think Jarrett's being talked about as a top 15 pick. So it's just the miss from a media perspective on him going the wrong way that last year. But as teams have dug on why that happened, you know, Dink Jarrett's put himself in a position to I think go a lot higher than people think, because as a thrower, he's among the best at spinning the football that I've ever been around. I've played a long time and coached a lot of guys. Natural thrower. I've known him since high school. He's always been that way. But now he's been at two schools. He's played in the SEC. He's played big games. He beat Bama in the Iron Bowl. Now he's got a lot of experience to pack on top of it. So I think Jared is going to be one of the big surprises from this draft in terms of how he ends up being as a pro.
Stidham started at Baylor, finished at Auburn. Jordan, we could talk to you forever, man. I know you're busy. You got to jump. Thanks a ton, and best of luck to your guys. It's been a successful few years for you. Hopefully it works out on draft night.
Great insight, man. Thank you.
And Kevin O'Connell's one of my all-time favorite people, and you guys have a great coach on your staff and him. So I'm excited. I hope you guys get one of the guys that I've worked with in the past, and Kevin O'Connell can get a chance to help him reach his potential.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah, we'll get you back on at some point and pick your brain on Kevin. He's doing big things here. Thanks, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you.
As Jordan Palmer was drafted in the sixth round in 07 by the Skins. That's Carson's little brother. He's turned himself into one of the guys that these players seek out now, by the way.
Yeah.
Where they go, okay, I want to get drafted. Who did Deshaun Watson work with? You start to look at some of the guys.
You get that
where
rep,
they
right?
Went. he's become a big name in that game.
Like Trent Dilfer was that, remember, for a minute before some as much studio work as he's doing with his Elite 11 type camps. And you get some of those guys who are thought of as whisperers. You get yourself, make yourself indispensable.
Rob Carlin of NBC Sports Washington, their pre and post hosts, will join us next. Preview the Caps and the Canes game 7 tomorrow. Skins fans, spread the word. John Allen, big defensive lineman, hoping to make his first Pro Bowl this coming year, joins us at 1:15 on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.